p.m. on WPFW, Washington.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW, Washington.
WPFW 89.3 FM, WPFWFM.org, 48 years strong, because many people like yourselves, listeners, support this Jazz and Justice radio station. We're a public broadcasting station that's community-based and, more importantly, listener-supported. Many of you have been longtime listeners, but I welcome new listeners. And since we are listener supported, each quarter, we have to do a fund drive. We seek your membership with the station and your financial support. And I know that for this hour of We the People, a news magazine that deals with the issues of race, history, politics, and culture, many of you are longtime listeners. And if you're a new listener, welcome. I'm grateful when you can financially support the show. A small or large donation can go a long, long way, and our efforts taken together will make a difference for everyone. So I thank you again. WPFW has reflected 48 years of courage and commitment. We have the courage to tell the truth about what's going on in the world, whether it's authoritarianism, displacement, apartheid, or genocide. Our commitment is to present jazz and public affairs through all of their extensions. News, blues, hip hop, house, and music from the world. WPFW has been your unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of life and culture. Be in solidarity with us during this drive. This is the last week of the drive. You can help me reach the goal and hopefully exceed the goal of $500 by calling 1-800-222-9739. 1-800-222-9739, or you can make a donation online at WPFWFM.org. There's a bright red donate button. We'll talk about other ways of donating to the station and supporting our mission of building a better world one broadcast at a time. And to do that, today we're going to focus on an important documentary, an important story that was told and is continuing to be told, if I understand it correctly. Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. That is the title of a new documentary that's now in circulation. And our guests are Michelle Stevenson, who's a filmmaker, artist, and author. She draws from her Haitian and Panamanian heritage and experience as a social justice lawyer to transform nonfiction storytelling. Ms. Stevenson creates the narratives of resistance and healing that emphasize the lived experiences of communities of color across the Americas and the Black diaspora. She's also a Guggenheim Artist Fellow and is currently doing post-production work on a feature regarding the Black Power movement in Canada. Her teammate, her life mate, her soulmate, Joe Brewster, is also with us. He's a Harvard-trained psychiatrist who applies his medical expertise to explore social issues through cinematic work. His directorial debut, The Keeper, reflects his experience as a prison psychiatrist at the Brooklyn House of Detention. Taken together, both Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster are Emmy Award-winning husband and wife team, as I said earlier, who have written, produced, and directed this current documentary, Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. It was Oscar shortlisted and won the 2023 Sundance Grand Jury Prize and received over 30 other awards. And through this film, we travel through time and space in order to understand the enduring influence of Nikki Giovanni. She is an important Black American writer, poet, artist, and social commentator. Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project, reckons with the passage of time, the collision of memories, and it blends moments of American history, live readings, and visually innovative treatments of Giovanni's poetry and public presence. Joe Brewster, thank you for being with us this morning.
David, thank you for having us. This program and programs like it are more important than ever. So I hope you get a few donations during the course of this drive.
Well, we'll remind them every 20 minutes to do so, and hopefully we'll prevail. Thank you.
Well,
and I understand Michelle's trying to join us. She may come into the conversation a little bit later. Thank you. Let's start with the basics. What caused you all to pursue this project? And I know that making documentaries take a long, long period of time. Finally, if you can proceed from the cause, what was it like to accompany Nikki Giovanni?
Sure. Well, we've been making film, primarily documentary, for over 30 years. And so a lot of our work early on was observational, verite documentary. We did a 14-year documentary following our son and his best friend as they negotiated the private school system in one of New York's most rigorous schools, the Dalton School.
And that documentary was known as American Promise.
It's still American Promise. But we had done other observational pieces, and we thought we wanted to pursue craft, which means we wanted to think about other ways in which we could grow as filmmakers. And so I actually wanted to work on a music doc. I had the hope of working with music and allowing the music to exist beyond the 30 seconds or so that you usually are allowed to express music in a documentary. But unfortunately, it's very expensive. There are rights issues. And one day I was listening to the radio. I heard Nikki Giovanni, and all kinds of memories flooded my mind. Memories of growing up in Los Angeles, hearing her on the radio, memories of pride at the work and how I felt listening to her. And then there was the realization that music and poetry are very similar, and that we would have to up our level of craft in order to share her poetry and not bore you after about 20 seconds. And so we pursued that. We called her up. She wasn't difficult to reach. And she told us that she never says no. We were all on our way.
Oh, that's fantastic. She is a person of the big yes, but she's also a well-defined individual with well-defined boundaries. And I alluded earlier that it does take a considerable time to produce many documentaries. You invested about 8 years of being with her in all walks of life. Is that correct?
Yes. Let me just say something about boundaries. We prefer subjects who have clear boundaries. Many times people will say yes, but they really mean no. They'll say yes, but they're an hour late to the interview. She was never late. And we knew what we could discuss and what we couldn't discuss. And the question for us is documentarians, the question for us in terms of being good citizens and ethical in our practice is to respect those boundaries. I'm not sure there is a journalistic ethic that allows exploration and re-traumatizing our subjects. Fortunately, she is a woman who had clear boundaries, but actually, when she was unable to address part of her past, she pointed us in another direction in order to achieve our goals. And really, it was her work, her body of work. She has over 1,000 pieces of work, poetry specifically. And everything that we needed to know was in those poems. So, in fact, the limitations, the constraint that she gave us actually improved our craft and improved the work that we do.
Well, we'll get into that a little bit more, but I'm sorry, I had a little technical glitch on my side. I was saying, just to pursue this further, I want to acknowledge that Nikki Giovanni has touched many generations since her time. In fact, her executive producer was Taraji P. Henson, who throughout the film recites some of her poetry, as well as us hearing Nikki Giovanni recite her own poetry as well. I wanted to get right down to why the title Going to Mars, and I'd be happily, along with other listeners, to hear you explain that to us.
Well, we found that title a couple of years into the production. You know, the title of a film is one of the last things that usually occurs. In our case, we were looking for a title that really summed up what we were about to do and the journey that we're about to take. We had a number of false starts, but we were looking for something that was not only memorable, but could sum up her life's journey. Early on in our production, we noticed mementos and artifacts having to do with space, and she was really obsessed with talking about space. We noticed in her poetry that it has always been part of her discussion. As we found poems as early as age 12, in which she expressed a fascination with traveling beyond our atmosphere. But really, it was listening to poem Quilting the Black Eyed Pea, We're Going to Mars, that fascinated us and allowed us to, I think, not only understand who she was, but allowed us metaphor and multiple ways of experience her life, not only in the current time, but the past and the future. She was in that poem, if your readers would like to indulge, she equates the travel to space, to the transatlantic slave trade.
The great passage in Niafa.
And we thought it was an amazing opportunity for us to say more than what was happening in real space, because she's a historian. She's a woman who has spent much of her life exploring American history. And it's, you can feel it and see it in everything she does. So, going to Mars. Going allowed us to tell her story, but the tell the story of African Americans, and an American story that's really complex.
Well, you see it right away in your film when there's scenes of her alone in nature, and where she described she's a native of Knoxville, Tennessee, but lives some time in Cincinnati. And the home there that she grew up in is no longer there. And in many, many scenes, whether it's the contemplation of nature or the enjoyment of her beautiful okra plants or what have you, yeah, the sense of space really does come across quite clearly. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. Also, in terms of your documentary about her is rich and robust, and it's quite immersive. The sense of the visual and the audible, the oral experience of it is quite profoundly engaging, to say the least. I started out saying that Nikki Giovanni is very much her own person. If one were in the 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, she's almost iconic. The presentation of her, not only through your film, but just any archives of her, her distinctive afro, reminiscent of the distinctive afro that Angela Davis and other Black women on the public scene had, makes a statement. The fact that she quite clearly moves through any situation quite strongly is again apparent in your film. So, but part of this is not just individualistic. She's got this sense of really belonging to people and being proud of her people. And she makes that clear. That's also why I asked about the going to Mars, because right at the outset of the film, she says, given what Black people have gone through, particularly Black women, we're the ones that go into the darkness that surrounds us. We're the ones that can explore and make a way out of no way. All that being said, can you talk about how your approach to art aligns with hers or is similar?
So, before I get to that question, I really wanna talk about craft and the importance of building character. She's got a big personality. And what you'll see is that we use the visuals in a way that brings that out. We really prioritize the emotional resonance in everything we do. So the camera is never further than about a foot from her. And you feel that. Her tears, because of that visual, become your tears. And her poetry seems to resonate at a different level. We use archival not to explain what she just said, but we use archival to complicate what is actually being said. Sometimes when she is reciting a poem, we attempt to show you just the opposite, so that the complexity of what she says is actually brought to a higher level. So earlier when I said that we really wanted to move from observational filmmaking to archival to grow in our craft, we are talking about ways of exploring the emotionality and emotional resonance of her work. And that was our goal. And I think we accomplished that. I would pause to tell you that the film is currently streaming on HBO Max. And so for any of your listeners, we're thinking about calling you and donating to the station, but also put that note that they can watch Going to Mars on HBO. I'm talking a lot. Maybe if you have a question for Michelle.
Hi.
Sure, but before we do that, and welcome Michelle Stevenson, thank you for joining us. We're at a juncture in our show. We're talking about your lovely documentary, Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And we certainly want to utilize this hour to robustly embrace her, the fact that she was with us for 80 some odd years. But before we do that, we've got a little housework to do. And WPFW is in a winter fun drive where we seek connectivity with our listeners, because for 48 years, they've kept us going strong. My charge, my duty, is to exceed $500 in this hour. And I'm joined by our interim general manager, Miyuki Williams, who I know is an appreciator of Nikki Giovanni and the aesthetic that she represents and the aesthetic you presented through your documentary. Miyuki, please join us. Let's wrap it up and tell people how we can begin to earn our financial wherewithal to bring guests like Joe and Michelle to our audience.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here, David. And it's an honor to be here with your wonderful guests, your incredibly talented guest. Just a reminder to everyone that each of these people are volunteering their times. Dave is a volunteer. The people that you hear on air, they volunteer their time, their passion, their energy to keep WPFW vital. And if you appreciate, if you have been engaged in tremendous conversation, all these thoughts and these revelations about Nikki Giovanni and filmmaking process, go to the phones now and please call 1-800-222-9739, or you can go to the web at WPFWFM.org, or you can pull out your phone again and go to Cash App. That's $WPFWFM, and then you go to, you could text WPFWFM to 801-801, and that way you can just give as generously as you are comfortable with to WPFW, all those different ways. Looking for new people, looking for people who become sustainers. One sustainer can do $12.50 a month, turns out to be $150 a year. Four people choosing to do that to support Dave Whetstone and We the People will get us there. The voice of a generation, the wisdom of a lifetime is Nikki Giovanni's poetry. It's been a beacon of resistance, love, Black pride, and for over five decades, her work transcends times. It speaks to the heart of the civil rights movement while remaining deeply relevant today. And the powerful storytelling through independent media. WPFW has always been a platform where the arts meet activism. And Nikki Giovanni's poetry is a perfect example of this intersection. Featuring her work on We the People not only honors her legacy, but also reinforces WPFW's commitment to elevating Black voices, radical thought, and transformative storytelling. It's not just a conversation, it is a cultural movement. With Going to Mars, Nikki Giovanni Nikki Giovanni project, earning Oscar shortlisted status, winning over 30 awards, including the Sundance Grand Jury Prize. And so you get information here that you can use that will elevate, that will inspire, that will educate you. So please, 1-800-222-9739. Thanks, David.
Yeah,
I hope there's some people to thank shortly. We can thank Robert. Robert made a pledge from Vienna, Virginia. Thank you so much, Robert. So, folks, we only need a little bit more, about three more of you to step up, and we're there. 202-588-9739.
Thank you, Miyuki. Again, folks, you're listening to We the People. It's a news magazine about history, politics, and culture. And our guests are Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster. They're a husband and wife team. They're important filmmakers who have given us many documentaries. Ms. Stevenson, your better half mentioned American Promise. I also want to mention Black Girls Play, which revealed a lot of the hand dancing and folkways of Black girls growing up into womanhood. And I thank you for that and your current work. I was asking a little bit earlier to some general questions that kind of uphold the agency and person of Nikki Giovanni. And I would like to ask you, Michelle, how does this align with the work that you and Joe do? How is it important? There's a synergy, there's a simpatico that you have between you and Nikki Giovanni.
Well, I mean, we've been drawn to her work from before we, at least for me, I was even thinking about becoming a filmmaker or artist. And so being now where I am, I think the simpatico or the synergy that we see really has to do with this idea of independence of voice, right? Centering her unapologetic nature, as much as I may not agree with all of her decisions or all of her points of view, what I do admire and seek to internalize even more is keeping centered integrity, independence of vision as an artist, but also as someone who wants to reclaim history and not succumb to compromise that somehow waters down any aspect of what my ancestors have gone through. So I think that for me, that's one of the biggest takeaways, and highlighting her work and her way of being is a way of helping reinforce and support the independence that we wish to embody and pass on to others as well, to the next generation, which she has done as well. She has a huge community of what she calls her literary children. Now she's got her film children too, who have embodied not just artistry, but a way of being in the world that's extremely important for us today.
Yeah, she's done a truly honorable thing. One of the things that she mentions is, and allow me, Joe, you talked about and explained her sense of duty and mission earlier, but she says, if I'm doing good work, there is something more, there's a legacy, there's something that artists who follow her can do because of the work that's already been done. And with that, there's the simple thing of not only a beautiful aesthetic, but a clarity. Yes. I mean, again, right from the get-go, she makes strong statements in her person, in her voice, in her being, in her poetry. Black women are powerful. Black people are truly and robustly human. There are all these statements that are continuous rhythms, themes, cadences for her life.
And the key,
And yes, go ahead.
I was just saying, I think there are two things that, in addition to this idea of sort of being independence and uncompromising, that go hand in hand with that is the notion that she says, I've never cared about what people think about me, which is really, really crucial. But also what she tells her students in the film is, I don't do this work to please others. I do it to share my vulnerability and process my own vulnerability. And those two things go hand in hand with independence. And if you can be true to yourself, you're definitely going to connect to others. There's no doubt, because of it's the nature of who we are, of our human connection. But worrying about others first often doesn't work when it comes to art.
My goodness. Well, there's something that I'll take up that note for a second. You know, American Promise about your son and his friend making their way through life is very intimate. The appearance of Black girls and Black women in this current film and in your previous films, very intimate. Dare I say that Nikki Giovanni modeled a way of presenting a deepness, a deep view of Black life, particularly family life, because family was very important to her. In fact, she makes it quite clear, to use a loose phrase, it all started with Gus, her father. And it's just my opinion, I don't know, I'm asking you all too as well. We can be in resonance with that, but again, we can be our own person. It can be an engagement of freedom. And that's something that I think Nikki Giovanni makes clear.
Well, I would add that our artistic practice is to present Black folks in a complex manner. And so if you take those stories, American Promise, Nikki Giovanni, Black Girls Play. What we're doing is showing the complexity of what it's like to be an African American. And so you think that is and that's a revolutionary act, because what we've been shown as and seen as in the media is non-complex. And we've either been disappeared, and we're at risk of being disappeared from the historical canon now, given the nature of politics in your fair city. But I think if you want to characterize our work, we. And the similarities to Nikki, we are trying to make you think twice about what it means to be any character, a Black boy growing up in a private school. He is struggling with not only how he's perceived by whites, but his African-American peers. That is not a characterization that we see often. If you look at Nikki, to make the parallel, she often takes a situation and allows you to see it upside down. The prime example is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And instead of celebrating that relationship with Santa, she looks at the abusive situation and causes you to think twice. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to lead you to a decision. We want you to really think twice about the life that we live and how we live and the values that we have. In our 8 years with Nikki, we thought a lot about that. And we believe that we've artistically grown, but grown is people thinking about, for example, what are our questioning what are our expectations from the artists that we profile, questioning how that and that questioning actually forces us to think about how we treat each other here at home. So that is our practice, always questioning, always willing to challenge orthodoxy, and hopefully bringing some of that home. I would say that if your audience, it's another plug for our work, we have other work that they can see on the Criteria Collection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's coming up in March, and including a piece, one of our first documentaries, where we followed a team of 5th graders who were trying to win the basketball national championship. It's called
AAU national championship. It's called Slaying Goliath. So it follows the team, of which we are one of the parents, but we really highlight the team and the coach in that process. So we have that film will be on Criterion Channel, as well as American Promise, and a film that we did called Stateless, which looks at anti-Blackness, anti-Haitian sentiment in the Dominican Republic.
Especially the latter is very important. And of course, Michelle, I don't know if you were with us, but I did mention your upcoming project about the Black Power movement in Canada as well. And I would not presume, but I would love to in the future talk to you about that.
I'd be happy to, Shirley. That's going to be on Independent Lens next year in 2026. Yeah. So happy to come back and talk about it.
Okay.
And, yeah. A lot of new revelations, both for, you know, for those who've studied the movement.
Yes, the Canadian mosaic has something to be examined, of course.
Yeah.
I don't want to overlook something it seems very important to me. Part of the pleasure of experiencing this documentary is I saw it at AFI, which is very equipped with 3 special movie theaters. You did a screening down, courtesy of the English department at Howard University, of the documentary. And again, I believe it's going to be on Max for people to see it. But in seeing it in the theater, one thing that was very important was, again, this immersion. It's just visually powerful. The oral experience of it, sound is just as important. And I think anyone that experiences a film in those settings, they're drawn into the VR work you do, the virtual reality work, the cinema verite approach, but you really got it. You're gently embraced and pulled through this story. Can you just really make it clearer than I what you are trying to do?
Well, I think Michelle can explain this best, but when I say craft, we are not just talking about the visual. We're talking about accentuating the emotional. But we also do that through sound and movement and editing. So what you'll see and feel and hear is a total experience.
Yeah, I mean, so when you see it in the theater or experience it in the theater, our intention has been for the film not just to be a story, but to be this immersive experience. And we have built a world, right? It's sort of like when people build fantasy worlds with rules and games or video games. Well, there are rules to this Nikki Giovanni world that we establish for you right at the beginning, so that then you are really completely immersed on this journey to Mars through the film, through these 90 minutes that may not be linear, may not be something you're used to, but somehow is hitting you at familiar unconscious levels, you know. And that's what the immersion of sound does, you know. It's making us, appealing or connecting to the nonverbal elements of our emotional, you know, complexity, as are some of the visual juxtapositions that we're doing. And really, it's honoring what poetry does with its words. It's all about metaphor and world building that doesn't really have anything to do with beginning, middle, and end, but it's really about the connections, the emotional connections we make with those words. Well, we're trying to do that at all these other different levels. But first, we have to show you the rules, like get you into those rules. And then you are in that world, and then you believe that world, and then you, you know, you experience that world. It's just how, in some ways, video games are established or VR experiences are established. But it's very important. I've seen films that have attempted that, but unfortunately, I have not been introduced to the world to be able to appreciate the extent of the work that's been done. And it took a long time for us to get through it, but we found those definitions and we, you know, we centered those right at the beginning. We hit you with those different aspects of that world.
Well, thank you, Michelle Stevenson, along with Joe Brewster. They're the filmmakers of Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And you're hearing about the special crafted work of art, a documentary on the important American, Black American poet, Nikki Giovanni. You're hearing that at WPFW because people like yourselves, listeners, have chosen to have us thrive and exist in all robustness around jazz and justice for over 48 years. And they do that by responding to our quarterly fund drives where we seek your financial support and your social connectivity. To urge you to pursue this even further, my interim general manager, Miyuki Williams, is joining us. I'm gonna say that I watched the tally page too, Miyuki, and we do have a considerable way to go to really earn that $500 in this hour. Certainly my guests merit that kind of support, and the efforts of other programmers and myself here at WPFW in our attempt to build a better world try to do that too. Let's begin with reminding listeners that they can call 1-800-222-9739 and become a sustaining member. A little bit each month takes us a long way. But take further, Miyuki Williams. Thank you.
No, my pleasure. And David's absolutely right. The caliber of guests that we have, the conversation about showing Black folks and all our complexities, understanding how films are created, it's really, really fascinating, intriguing, inspirational information that can feed us. And if it is something you've come to rely upon from We the People, the conversations in art, activism, and the power of storytelling, please don't delay. We just need a few people to go to 1-800-222-9739. Or if you're listening online, you can go to the Donate Now button at WPFWFM.org. Or if you have your phone and you just want to Cash App it, go to Cash App $WPFWFM. You can also text WPFWFM to 801-801. There's a myriad ways of ways you to contribute, and we're looking forward to hearing from you now. We expect each show to hit its goal. Each show hitting its goal will ensure that WPFW will reach its overall goal. We have $400 to go, folks. We have now 17 minutes remaining. I know you're out there listening. This is your last opportunity during today's Winter Drive Wednesday, We the People, for you to make that contribution. Please support this type of radio, support these incredible guests, support WPFW. Put your money where your heart is. 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org.
Thank you, Miyuki Williams. We're going to get right to it. I know we've got about a precious 15 minutes or so, a little bit less than that. And again, I want to do an expression of thanks again to Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster for producing Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. You know, as someone who enjoys documentaries, I want to thank you expressly for not just hitting us with talking heads commentary. In other words, people talking about the important subject, and good portions, huge chunks of film and time were spent on that, as opposed to honoring the person and honoring their agency and their actual influence. And what better ways you have done that? You can join with Nikki Giovanni in talking about their individual experiences, but we're also in society, we're also in history, we're also trying to move forward. It's just really a good craft when you do utilize archives. And even though I disavowed all the talking head interests, the one important thing that you do is her appearance on the television program Soul with an apostrophe, and also the interview, the fantastically historical interviews with James Baldwin and the commentaries there. Why don't you just extend that a little bit for our listeners, if you please?
Well, James Baldwin, it's interesting because that interview that Nikki did of James Baldwin in 1971, it's a two-hour interview that happened in London. She went to London to speak with him. They're very close friends. Has gone viral on YouTube over the last few years. And it's been, for the younger generation, Gen X's, no, that's me, sorry, Gen Z and millennials, their introduction often to Nikki Giovanni through James Baldwin and through this interview. And they really have only become familiar to her through that. But for us, this before it became viral, when we were building the film, we knew that this particular interview was going to be a building block of our world, the world we were going to build. Because there is a theme through the film that has to do with intergenerational, not passing the torch, but also engaging with a cross generation and what that looks like. And that conversation for me epitomizes what intergenerational dialogue could really look like, because there's tension in there. She doesn't back down. She's got her points of view. And he is an elder statesman in how he engages with her. sometimes, you know, the patriarchy kind of comes out a little bit, because, you know, it's internalized by all of us. But we were adamant about including it, and we were very strategic in the pieces that we put in there and how they were laid out. I don't know if you want to talk about that and say something.
Well, I'm sitting here listening to this conversation that we're having with you, but thinking about your show and how it's important that we have control of our narrative, that we provide information that can't be received in the mainstream media. I wanted you to know that I started off as a physician, and I wanted to heal my community. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought that art, my art, was actually just as important as walking around with a stethoscope or providing people with medication. So that's what I want to leave your audience with, that these narratives, this radio show, is not just a fluff. This is important sustenance, emotional sustenance, so we can do the work of living and taking care of our families. And the American promise changed lives. Nikki changes lives, and so that what we want to express in the few moments that we have left is that the storytelling has been around for millennia. and there's a reason for it, and let's promote it and share it with our families
through our own unapologetic lens.
If you even look at the relationship that Nikki and Baldwin, it's complicated as well. What your audience will notice is that he is fairly paternalistic. That is not something I expected from Baldwin. But what I can say is that complication made me love him more. He is human, even though he struggles with the civil rights movement. And by struggle, I mean that is an important concern for him, but he has his own Achilles heels or limitations, as we all do. And that's the power of a great filmmaking. A great storyteller.
And Michelle, with just about 2 minutes to go, I also invite you, I'm going to play not a mean trick on you, but I'm going to highlight something you mentioned for Nikki Giovanni and for yourself, that art is political and that it has a leg, and how Joe aptly talked about. We try to order and live our lives. Go right ahead, please.
I think it broke up a little bit, but I deeply believe in that there is no way we can separate art from politics. The political is artistic and the artistic is political in many ways. And so for us, and it's important that we be transparent about that. And understand what that means in terms of holding it as a source of power, which is why we're often at the front lines and the ones who are shut down and censored first, because those who see us as a threat see the power that exists in art and its political strength. And so as we acknowledge that, you know, there's a huge tradition of that. We're currently in the early stages of working on a film on Paul Robeson. And those are the same words that he that he lived by and understood and promoted throughout his life. Here I Stand has to do with, we take a stand as artists and we have no choice but to do that. And we're sort of at a crossroads today. And I think the idea of conversations like this, your program, the work that we're involved in, the screenings that we do, the being in community is part of strengthening and protecting these voices.
And I thank you for not only your hard work, but the fact that you represent people who make themselves available to others and to communities. So my hearty thanks to Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster, along with others. I believe another couple of the Olivers have given us Going to Mars, the Nikki Giovanni Project. And thank you for spending this hour with us here in We the People. We're about to end this particular juncture, but I would remind listeners that it is not too late to support this program. Even as this program ends and we approach the 12 o'clock hour, don't forget the blues with Clarence the Bluesman. Or if you go into 1 o'clock with Africa Now with host Melissa Motelli, those programs, other programmers bring you WPFW. Again, my thanks to Michelle Stevenson and Joe Brewster. And Yuki Williams, go ahead and close out. People yes. need to know they can still give and help us make the $500 goal, even if we get beyond 12 noon.
$400 is all we need. 1-800-222-9739. We live in a very, very fragile ecosystem. There are people who are actively and aggressively trying to erase us and our history. We heard the names James Baldwin, Paul Ropes, and Nikki Giovanni. Those are the people here at WPFW that we continue to hold up and celebrate. These people are making films about these issues, these things, so that we can't be erased so easily. Please, if you appreciate it, don't let us get erased either. Call 202-588, call 1-800-222-9739. You know, WPFW isn't powered by corporations or ads. It's powered by you. Every show you love, every voice you trust, every song that moves you exists because someone like you decided it was worth supporting. If you believe in independent media, jazz, and justice, now is the time to stand up and show it. 1-800-222-9739. Pick up the phone. Go online. Make a difference. It's that simple. Whether it's $5, $500, every single pledge matters. And so, you know, we need 80 people doing $5 would be great, or one person doing 400,
whatever. Or that one person with $500 to make the difference.
Yeah, and you can do that. And by becoming a sustainer, 202-588, I'm sorry, become a sustainer by calling 1-800-222-9739 or going to the website and indicating that you want to give $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever it is that's comfortable for you, and how much that you can give to WPFW to support We the People, to support the station. 1-800-222-9739. We have guests here in their own unapologetic way. Celebrate the culture, celebrate the station, celebrate our history. And again, we're not for non-erasure. 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Cash App is $WPFWFM, and then you can text WPFWFM to 801-801. If you're driving, cooking, working, or just chilling at home, just think about what WPFW means to you. Is it the jazz that makes your morning brighter, or the voices that speak truth to power? Or maybe it's knowing that there's still a place on the dial where community matters. Us connecting, us doing this work together, it matters. 1-800-222-9739. David, I don't think we're going to go ahead and go. Okay. Thank you so much for having me. I trust people are going to the phones. They're going to the website. They will make, we just need four people to promise $12.50 a month. We can do that, and you can keep WPFW in track, and you can make the host proud and happy, and we can acknowledge the wonderful guests, Joe Brewster and Michelle Stevenson. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And thank you, Miyuki. And thank you, listeners. I hope to see you again next week, or at least speak to you again next week. And I want to be able to enthusiastically support people who contributed during this hour and people who contributed to WPFW, your jazz and justice radio station, for 48 years. Thank you for being with us. I hope we meet again on the radio next week. Take good care. Again, if you want to support this program, call 1-800-222-9739. Take care. Thank you.
Tout moun Etazini gen dwa. Kel ke swa estati imigrasyon yo, kont dwa nou se pwemye etap pou poteje tèt nou kont fòs imigrasyon la dran ak anfòsman, ICE. Ou swa lòt ajans la polis ki viole dwa nou kom sitwayen ak imigran. Guide pou poteje dwa nou. Identifye kontak urjans epi memorize numero yo. Rete kalm si ICE ou swa lòt otorite la polis apòche ou. Pa kouri, pa diskute, pa reziste, ni pa gome. Ou gen droit pou rete en silans. Ou gen droit pou pale ak yon avoka e pa siye an yen jisk asko diskite lak yon avoka. Si ou la kayo, ou gen droit refize kite yon rentre sauf si yon gen yon mandat judisye siye pa yon juj. Yon mandat ICE pa bay yon droit rentre la kayo. Ou gen droit pou mande yon interprète. WPFW ap defan dwa moun ki te difisil pou realize yap bati yon moun pou jis yon emisyon a la fois.
To get WPFW swag in your life? I don't just say I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
For close to 50 years, years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of Black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black history. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to